Do you wonder about past lives? Have you ever thought about where your soul has been, where it's going, or what lessons and memories have been gathered along the way? In this podcast, we will discuss past life memories, psychic phenomena, energy healing, and other metaphysical topics with experts and the average person to find out how we can heal through these experiences. So I invite you to join me on my journey. Welcome to the regression session. I used to have like really long hair and a really long beard. I actually shaved it recently, but I was like a hipster Jesus.
Oh, I could see it.
Welcome back to the regression session. My name is Ian. Welcome to the regression session. To any new listeners, thanks for tuning in. We love you. Before I get started into today's episode, many of you longtime listeners may have noticed that for the last like 10 episodes or so, there has been a distinctive lack of and the reason for that is because I just simply don't have the time lately to go through and just bleep out every single swear that may or may not be said on the show. So from here on out, I'm just going to be bleeping out the F word so that I don't have to mark every single episode as explicit. Anyway, as always, don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player so that you don't miss a single one of my weekly episodes I upload. Did I just say episode? Any of my weekly episodes, not episodes, I upload every Sunday at 8 o'clock a.m. Mountain Standard Time. If you want to come on to the podcast to talk with me about your past life experience or your knowledge on any metaphysical topic, or even how metaphysical topics do or don't belong in mental health or therapy or whatever you want to talk about, doesn't matter as long as it has to do with healing, shoot me an email. My email is theregressionsession@gmail.com. So this week we're going to be hearing from Haley Pappard, and Haley is a therapist and clinical social worker. She's a certified mental health professional, and she reached out to me to come on the show to talk to me about spirituality within social work and therapy. Does it or does it not belong? How can it be used? Should it be used? Who should be able to use spirituality? Does it need to be a certified topic, or can anybody do it? These are the types of things that I talk about with her in the episode, so I'm really excited for you all to hear our takes on these. And now for my conversation with Haley. Hey, Haley, thanks for coming on to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Nervous, excited.
I am so excited to have you on my show. I really am. I've been looking forward to it since we talked. And before we get going into it, for the audience's sake, if you don't mind telling us about your background, I would love to hear about it, and I know they would too.
Yeah, so my name is Haley, and I am a clinical social worker. I've been a clinical social worker for the past four years now. That's just with my master's, and I have my bachelor's degree in social work as well. To give a little context in that, I got my bachelor's in social work degree from the University of Detroit, and then I got my master's degree from University of Michigan. And once I got into U of M, I specialized in integrated behavioral health, which is kind of, you know, taking in all of the components of a person: mental health, physical health, spiritual health. There was a lot of curriculum about how the body is connected to the mind, and that's kind of what my specialization was at the time. And then from there, I did a lot of my work with individuals with developmental disabilities or intellectual disabilities. And that was in school. From there, I ended up getting a job as a home-based therapist. And I did therapy in homes for children who had severe mental illness. And these were not kids who were doing great. They had lots of needs. They needed intense case management, high therapy needs, lots of supports in place. And then after a few years there, I entered into private practice, and that's where I've been working at until recently, as I'm just exploring new things all of a sudden. So yeah, we'll see. To be continued with that path. We'll see what's next.
That's fabulous. That's so cool. And you know, one thing that I would like to ask you, just for my own curiosity and a little bit of context,
yeah.
I took a psychology class from the University of Yale, or Yale University, yeah. However you say it. I don't even remember because I don't care.
I don't know.
So
yeah,
the very first thing, and this was like when I was first, like when I was very first getting into this stuff, the very first thing before even getting into psychology, the very first thing they talked about was the concept of materialism. Did that come up in your studies at all?
You know, it honestly did not. I was really lucky in that I went to a very small private college. I originally thought I was going to be a nurse. I was a nursing student. The only reason I went there the first day, I immediately was like, not for me. And I immediately switched. And every single class I took was very specific in abnormal psychology. It did not go much into materialism. And that might be to the fault of my school and the benefit.
So you're familiar with the concept of materialism then?
Yes, of course.
Okay, what are your thoughts on it?
I think it's very interesting on how dependent I'm questioning myself on materialism here, but is that not the connection between people's habits with buying materialism, consuming material, and how that impacts their being as a whole?
No. So I guess it might be, there might be a couple different uses for it. Mm-hmm. What I was taught as materialism is that it's like your mind is your whole consciousness, because their whole basis behind that is like,
yeah,
is if your brain gets damaged, then your personality can change. And so I was just thinking, like, as a mental health professional, what are your thoughts on local consciousness? Because that's really what it boils down to, the concept of materialism. It boils down to your consciousness is linked to your brain, and once your brain gets damaged or dies, your consciousness dies.
Oh, no. I think that there's much more to it than just your mind-body-brain connection. I think that everyone has a soul that's probably much deeper than just what you can even picture in your brain and what that is like with your consciousness. I think that there is absolutely a level of yourself that can change, is changed by brain injury. I've worked with multiple people with TBIs who have notable changes that make their lives much more different and difficult. But they are still the same essence and being of who they deep down are, no matter the brain injury or personality changes, I find.
Were you ever leaning towards like the idea of materialism, like local consciousness? Was that ever like just kind of your accepted reality?
Oh, yeah. I'm probably not going to know a lot of things about the metaphysical stuff because I'm so new. Like, I've always been much more DSM-5 textbook clinical because I was kind of taught that I needed to be. Not that I've always felt that way, but I don't know if that makes sense.
No, but it totally does. You went to school to be a mental health professional, and they don't, it's not like they're like, we need to heal your soul. We need to take care of people on a practical level. That's what you went to school for. So with that being said, you know, like materialism being the accepted idea in society, in school, as a mental health professional, let's talk a little bit about we'll just call it your awakening. I don't really like that term. I'm trying to find a better term, but there's like, it's hard.
Yeah, I certainly don't feel awake. You know,
right. It is stressful. So tell me a little bit about, like, you say, oh, I'm so new to this. I'm so new. But let's talk about that. Tell me what kind of started it. What was the moment where you were like,
you know.
Oh, like, oh my God, I am now spiritual.
Yes. And you know, it's actually so funny because it just popped into my head going back to my college days. It was my Eastern Asian religion class. I had to take a religion class. I went to a Catholic school. It was a requirement to graduate. I did not want to take a class like that. I wanted to push myself and do something new. And when I learned about Sikhism, I believe it's pronounced, I was like, oh, well, that's very interesting. I was just immediately drawn to like the principles, and I couldn't name them now, but it's along the lines of like treating everyone with respect and harmony, and everyone is just equal and loved and connected. And it was just like such a beautiful thing. And I was like, that's something fascinating that I'd never thought of. And this is probably 2016, you know, that was maybe my first spark or question. And then from there, I took religion, health, and healing as my second religion class. And that was my introduction to the chakra system. And I found it so fascinating because it was the chakras, something in Judaism, and the tenets of Christianity. There were 10, and they all lined up. They all had the same exact meaning and principle and like behind it. So that was my first instant. And then, as life went on, I'm 2 years into my first job, or my first real big girl clinical job here. And then I've just hit my flow. And then what do you know? COVID hits, the world shuts down. The job that I've been driving 3 or 4 hours a day to hit 12 clients a week at for 90 minutes a session, you know, it all comes to a halt. All of a sudden I'm doing telehealth, and then surprise, I'm pregnant. immediately pregnant, because who knows? I literally couldn't tell you. I never in a million years thought I would have a child. It was like, oh my gosh, I must have been like on a wrong path here or something. Like I needed a little wake up call or something wild. I don't know. And I've always been into tarot. Like my mom owns a crystal shop. She was a part of a paranormal investigative team. It's always been like something a little in the background. And I got a tarot reading the day I found out I was pregnant, because of course, what else would I do in that moment? And she said something along the lines, oh, she's so fiery. And wow, like you're going to really change when you have this baby. It's really going to help you with your job. And I was like, no, but the you're going to change stuck with me. And it just stuck and stuck. And after she was born, it wasn't like this, not that that didn't happen as well, but I was like, oh, I'm going to have the spiritual awakening connection. No, it was not. It was quite difficult and got much more difficult and much more difficult. And as I was like, not because of her, but my own mental journey, I was like, something is stirring inside of me. I'm like, okay, I've had this baby. I've had this big change. My career is going wild. I've got all kinds of changes in my life, but like, I don't care about any of that because I can tell something's going on in me bigger. And I start noticing and paying attention. And I did some I was doing chakra work. I wanted to like reopen some chakras or align them or something. And I was doing this chakra work, and I had this moment where I felt like it aligned or opened or the blockage was released. And I had this very spiritual moment where I don't know how to describe it other than like a godly presence in the room that just felt comforting and loving. And I just like knew. I heard it. I was listening to a podcast, and she was talking. It was Teresa Caputo. And she says, I don't ever really say this, but I can feel God in this room right now. And it was like time stood still. And I never been the same since. I don't know why. Yeah. Just happened.
So let me ask you a hard question.
Yeah.
What makes you think that you were actually experiencing God's presence and not just like an altered state of consciousness?
Yeah. I can't give you any real physical, tangible evidence other than everything felt exactly as it was supposed to be. It was like the things that I had felt the most fear from, the things that I have immediately rejected or hated or said no to in my life. I was like, I think I'm going to start gardening. I thought in my perfect dream, I lived in a studio apartment in Seattle in a sky rise. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, you know what? I should start gardening. Maybe I need to like really get back into yoga more. I really need to put my phone away and like read books on stuff. I need to start connecting and meditating. So it was just like all of these positive changes along with, well, at the moment, I'll go back and say at the moment, I couldn't have told you. I figured this out much later after battling a lot of fear. A lot of anxiety, a lot of changes in my senses and perception. It was just a whole lot of change. So it wasn't like I immediately was filled with doubt. I mean, I questioned myself immediately. So it was like, I knew, but I said, no, until much later. And I reflected on it and really sat with it.
Well, I think that's a healthy thing to do. You're just like, you question yourself because there's a lot of people out there that don't do that. They're just like, oh yeah, this is great. Right. I'm proud of you for questioning yourself.
Cause like, do you know how wild it sounds for me to say, yeah, I was listening to a podcast and she brought up feeling God's presence. And all of a sudden I felt God's presence around me. Like, that's not something that is always like something believable or tangible or actually happening, but it just did. I don't know. It was crazy. And I still don't believe myself half the time, but.
Okay. I completely understand where you're coming from because I've said some crazy shit in this show. And then after listening to it again, I'm like, God, am I nuts? Yeah. Am I crazy?
Yeah. No, and it's the craziest duality of understanding. Like I've come from a clinical background and very well versed in severe and persistent mental illness. I have a lot of experience with hallucinations and delusions and difficulty perceiving things. And, here I'm still Googling schizophrenia once a week because I'm like, what's happening? What are all these things going on? It's difficult to not feel crazy, especially when you have a lot of knowledge about mental illness and that impact on your brain and those kind of things.
Yeah, I told you this story, but I'm going to tell it for my audience as well. So I have had so many points across my journey where I've been like, God, I have got to be just off my rocker. So I was at a lake this last weekend, and my brother's girlfriend and my brother and my sister were all there. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty annoyed with my sister and my brother's girlfriend. They had pissed me off earlier in the day. Which, fine, whatever, right? But I was, like, pretty annoyed. So I was sitting on the porch of the cabin we were in. And all of a sudden, I just started, like, getting all these things. And it's like, you're being, specifically for my brother's girlfriend. Like, they didn't say anything about my sister. But I was getting all these messages that I perceive coming from, like, spirit guides. They're like, you're being much too harsh. They're using language that I never really used. They're like, you're being much too harsh. You need to soften your heart. And then all of a sudden I looked at my wife and I was like, don't freak out. And then I just flopped forward. I just flopped forward on my chair. And then I just started like talking. And I don't know if my brother's girlfriend listens to this, but I think it's okay for me to say it now. Because what happened is I walked in afterwards and I was like, hey, check it out. So funny story. I totally channeled your guides. But I'm not going to say what they said because it's personal. Right. But they started like talking to me about my brother's girlfriend and the reason that she was placed in our path and blah, 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 blah. And like they let me experience some of her emotions and then like where they were located most strongly in her body and what some of the things that might be triggering them were. And so then afterwards I walk over and I'm like, funny story. And I was like, hey, do you experience this emotion when this happens, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah. And like all these things lined up. So it's really easy to feel crazy. But sometimes when you do feel crazy, you get things that happen that like validate it. And that happened to me. So if you are out there and you're experiencing something weird, just be patient. And sometimes you can get validation because that's what happened to me. And it was awesome.
Yeah. And I think I missed. I also got into tarot, loved tarot, used it to like for intuition based stuff. I was just like, I'm just like, need answers. What's happening to me? And with the that spiritual awakening moment, I had been processing a lot of repressed trauma. That was ding, 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 a big old part of it. A big old part of it was like reliving and forgiving myself for a lot of pain that I self-caused, that my trauma caused me to avoid, which caused pain. And upon reflecting, it's going to sound silly, I pulled judgment and the sun, and it was like, I knew it, in my head, it was like sins forgiven, happy, joy. And those were like the words. And then I'm listening to this podcast and I'm sitting and I'm just like about tired. And that's when I felt that presence. And yeah, that was my first part. And it was definitely a trauma-based work first.
That's what my whole entire show is about, Haley, is just healing trauma. So with that being said, what I would like to ask you is, I want to get back into the clinical stuff a little bit. I want to talk to you about like spirituality within clinical mental health care. So what are your thoughts about it? Does spirituality belong within mental health care? Should it be pushed more or used more, or does it not belong? Should they be kept separate? Tell me your thoughts about it, because I would love to hear your take on it from someone who's kind of been in both worlds a little bit.
Yeah, it absolutely, spirituality can absolutely be a part of treatment. It is in almost all code of conducts that spirituality is a part of the biopsychosocial model and things of that nature. It is included. I know in the social work code of conduct, spirituality is always addressed. As a practitioner, I'm a strong believer in person-centered care. So if you want to talk about your spirituality, I am thrilled and I'm excited to hear about it. But if you are not there, I don't care. You know, like I don't care. So it's up to, for me personally, it's just up to the patient and where the person's at and what they want to talk about spiritually. I think that should be the goal most of the time because it is person-centered. And I think it's also important if you are going to go there to ask permission. I do this often in therapy where I'll be like, can I ask you something deeper? And I'll be like, do you think like maybe this is part of something bigger? Like maybe like, yes, this is an inconvenience, but like, what's this bigger picture here? And some people are totally cool with it. Some are like, no. And I'm like, okay. And we just move on. So it's really person by person, I think.
So would you say that it's better to let the client bring it up themselves, or would you say like if I was a therapist and I was like, hey, just so you know, I work a lot with like spirituality, is that something that you're interested in? Is that kind of your take on it? Like would you like to start to explore your spirituality as a healing modality in this therapy session? Is that like kind of where you're at?
Yeah So on a very, very clinical level, if you are just doing an intake, spirituality will absolutely be addressed. It's part of your demographics. What's your religion? Are you religious? What do you identify as? So it's almost always one of the first questions asked, no matter the therapist. Now, dependent on the therapist and what I think should be the, you know, preferred sense of doing, you should always invite a conversation into spirituality. I think that it's definitely on the therapist to do, because it's up to the therapist to make it a comfortable, open, safe environment to talk about all aspects of yourself, mind, body, soul, wherever you're ready to go. For me personally, I always just love to add, and I do it in my silly way, I'm just like, you know, just so you know, I'm a little weird. So we can always talk about any kind of spirity stuff or whatever you want to talk about. If they don't happen to have a certain religious belief, it always seems to work for me. I don't know why. But I think it's really the therapist's duty to make it a safe space and invite spirituality into sessions if you're comfortable with it. But then that goes back to not all therapists are great in that aspect. So it's like, should you? It's a whole thing.
Okay, gotcha. So would you say that using spirituality as a medium, regardless of whether or not we really are connected to God or yada, 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 is it effective in helping people process trauma? Because we brought up processing trauma earlier, and that's a huge thing in our society, people don't process their trauma. So would you say that it's effective in helping people process their trauma?
Absolutely. And if you compare it to like the clinical stages of change, you know, on a spiritual level, everyone may go through like that pre-contemplation phase. You might not believe in anything, or you have a very strict set of rigid beliefs that you're not willing to open up to. And through the process, you go through contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance of that change. You do the same thing with all trauma. But if you're looking at a holistic, whole person-centered point of view, you know that spirituality is always a component that could be addressed and could be healing, but it's really just where the patient's at and if they're ready for that kind of connection, because some people are not, but it's always something that could be helpful in healing, I think, for anyone.
That's very interesting. Like, for the longest time, I feel like mental health, anytime spirituality is brought up, they're like, no. That's not what we do here. We're here to talk about real things.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't know. I feel like my podcast is, the whole goal is to address exploring healing through past lives and the metaphysical and spirituality and things like that. And you know, the whole reason I created my show in the first place was because I was looking for a resource like that and I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if I can't find it, I guess I'll just have to make it. So it's really interesting to me that there, I wonder how many people that are therapists out there that have been kind of following the book, like, okay, I've got to just take a clinical point of view, who maybe have the same kind of feelings that you have that haven't acted on them because of that traditional view of mental health.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm sure a lot. You know, I think there's a very interesting dynamic among therapists and mental health professionals where there's just a sliver of passive aggressiveness sometimes. There's a nervousness to it. You worry, you want to be the best. You never want to mess up. You never want to make an error. You always want to do good, but it's like competitive sometimes. So it's, if you stray and you do something a little bit wonky, are clients still going to see you? Will someone try to get you in trouble? What if you cross the line and all of a sudden someone thinks you've done something ethically wrong because you addressed something they weren't comfortable with? Things like that. So I think it's the safest route, safe, quote unquote, safer route to be very clinical and textbook and not go into things that, because, and let's be real, not all therapists are comfortable with spirituality either, and probably would do more harm than good if they brought up their spiritual beliefs or weren't themselves open to spirituality. So that's another issue. And I think that is probably a big proponent, and also that level of clinicalness and difficulty finding a good therapist for people.
So is there some kind of like, in your opinion, should there be like some kind of spiritual training involved before undertaking that side of things? So like as a clinical therapist, should you stay working with clinical mental health and just completely stray away from that without being like certified in mental health in regards to spirituality, you know, taking that extra step into understanding more spirituality stuff? Or do you think it's okay for just any random Joe Schmo off the street therapist to be like, hey, guess what? I'm spiritual. Let's be spiritual.
Yeah. I go back and forth because there's a line of, you know, some people are just good at it, and like that would suck to limit their ability to talk and heal by the cost of a training. You know, like it's expensive. It's hard. Like it's expensive to become a therapist. Those specializations are difficult, and that's why there's not a ton of specialty. Like it's hard sometimes. So it's like I wouldn't want to necessarily say any Joe Schmo, but I certainly wouldn't want to just cut people off. There certainly are some types of psychology that are based in spirituality that I've found. I cannot remember what it is called for the life of me at this moment. I could even Google it, but They're not very well known. There's no certifications in them. They're a whole master's degree, but it would be in religion or something of that nature. It's a very specific counseling degree that focuses on spirituality, and it's from like one online university in the U.S. And that is the only spiritual psychology based combination program I could find. So there's not a lot out there that really addresses both, but I will also say that schools and programs are changing, and that mindfulness is often a course. There are definitely spiritual things that I think people don't even acknowledge as spiritual that they do anyways, like using mindfulness and breath work, things like that. So it's open in some aspects, but still that like clinical little tinge to it.
So where do you stand on like past life regression hypnotherapists?
Oh, love it. I love it. And I think again, there's great ones and true regressionists and hypnotists. I also think there are ones who are probably not real and like scam you, I'm sure. There's got to be a healthy level of skepticism. But I think that there's absolutely a certain level of healing. I would not have reached any of this point without doing past life regression. It was one of my bigger moments that kind of got me really going into my journey of healing. So I truly believe there's something to it. And as a therapist, have brought it up with patients who identify as spiritual and have brought things up like that themselves. It's always fun to go there and see where people go.
So what about just traditional hypnotherapy? Hey, everyone. I'm interrupting the episode to tell you all about my Patreon campaign. I love doing this podcast, and it is amazing to hear from people telling me how much they love it too. It takes a ton of time and effort to keep producing content every single week for you guys, and I would love to put out even more for everyone to enjoy. By subscribing to a tier in my Patreon campaign, you can help support the show, provide more episodes, bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes content, and just extra content in general. So if you enjoy the show and you feel it's worth your time listening and would like to contribute, you can go to patreon.com/theregressionsession. There's also a link in the description. Thanks so much for the support. I could never do this show without each and every one of you. Now back to the episode.
I'm going to be 100% dead honest. I literally never thought about it a day in my life before all this stuff. Never. I thought hypnotherapy, I thought, oh yeah, like people trying to quit bad habits, but like not talking it through, not doing the work, surpassing.
You're taking a shortcut.
Yeah. And I didn't even think of it in like a looking down upon it way. I just looked at it as a false optimism. Like, I wish that worked. I wish you could just manifest that for yourself or talk yourself. I was like, yeah, okay. I wish it was that easy. That was what my first thought. And then my first experience with hypnosis was a past life regression. Didn't go well. Didn't go great. But since then I started looking it up, and I find it's just so similar to meditation and like just really being able to get into I don't know if it's exactly like meditation, but being able to get into that space where you can just be guided and not listen to your own head, because your own head is mean. You know, your forefront is mean. Your first thoughts aren't always nice, and they're usually like down and out about yourself. Because on a clinical aspect, I think that everyone develops these things called internal schemas, you know, throughout their life. It's like early childhood experiences, relationships with toxic people, peers, friends, parents, trauma, you know, everyone develops this inner mean message. I call it your inner mean message to yourself that kind of just like leans behind you. And it could be, there's like social alienation or isolation. You might deeply feel, I am completely alone and isolated and I'll never fit in with a group. Or maybe I will be hurt by mistrust and abuse. So like that's kind of a clinic. I don't even know where I was going with that. Meditation and mindfulness there. But it's like, you know, when you think of your inner mean message, your first thoughts are always mean and down on you. So it's actually kind of nice to be able to surpass those thoughts and go into a deeper state of trance or like, I don't know, meditative state of healing where you're not listening to yourself because it's not always honest.
Yeah. And what's crazy about it is it actually does work. You know, yeah. It's because, and I'm going to explain this again and from a more clinical point of view for my audience, because they've heard me talk about hypnosis in like a spiritual way. And I definitely like to take a spiritual approach to it, but it's like we enter hypnosis every day, right? Yeah. Hypnosis, I like to describe hypnosis to people that are kind of nervous about it. I've talked to a ton of people that are like, well, I don't want you messing with my head. But really what hypnosis is it's your autopilot. Right. So like when you're driving, you enter hypnosis. If you're like really good at typing on a keyboard, that's a hypnotic state. You're just typing on the keyboard. When you brush your teeth, if you're cutting like an onion, you're slicing it. You don't even think about it. You're just doing it. Right.
Yes. I say that all the time. No one ever, I literally say that all the time. I'm like, go paint your nails. That is the closest you will ever get to meditating. Go on a walk and pick someone who's looking for mushrooms. I was like, yeah, you probably felt great because that's meditating. You know, it's like being on autopilot, one-minded, you know, just being able to focus without requiring so much focused effort. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what hypnosis is. And what good hypnotists do is they tap into that autopilot and they can make suggestions to that autopilot to change certain behaviors or express certain emotions that may have been locked away, even physical symptoms that are being caused. It actually works. So it, you know, I feel like a lot of people kind of have the misconception of like, oh man, that sounds a little too good to be true. But the crazy part is it actually works and it's actually true. Even though it sounds too good to be true, it actually works. And like a personal question is, did you ever get like a past life regression that you actually went through and it actually, you had a good experience and it worked for you?
You know, I have and I haven't. You know, a lot of trauma and the past life regressions I've done, not scary. And I think that's what surprises me is that it was negative information per se, not, you know, it was just like a traumatic life a couple of times. And you would think like, oh, that's so scary. And that's like, would turn you off. But it in fact made me want to heal more. I was like, oh my gosh, like there's just so much like trauma and damage and that like I can be conscious of now and work towards moving forward. And so I thought that was really cool. I don't know if you want me to like go into it or anything, but I totally will.
Well, if it's something that's important for you and you would like to share, you can. Or I have some other questions that I can ask you that are about like therapeutic work. It's kind of up to you, whichever direction you want to go. It's like a choose your own adventure book.
Well, I think I'll explain it, because maybe just a smidge, because, you know, I think a lot of people, like you said, are scared of hypnosis. You know,
yeah,
like,
all right,
like,
let's go to page 50. Let's go to page 50. And then we're going to talk about Haley's past life regression. Let's go.
It's not much because I'm not great at it. I've never been great at visualizing. I am very in my head. I tell you what, I block myself almost all the time. As soon as I get deep, it freaks me out. But it was it was like a witchcraft based persecution. And it was in my root chakra. And I actually did it with Fiona. You know, it was Fiona Harris. And she did my past life regression. And it was in my root chakra. And I knew I had some issues there. I tell you, always knew that. And it was like me being tortured, drowned over and over and over on like the spinning wheel. And it felt very angry. Like, yes, it was maybe witchcraft related, but also very personal. And we did a little soul rescue there. And once I did the soul rescue, so I didn't feel any of that trauma though. Like that was kind of just like an almost like an impression I got per se. Like I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I kind of just knew. And then as I went through, you know, she says, okay, like, let's take her off the wheel, take her back to your safe place. I get back to my safe place and we're like, all right, can we go back to the garden or something? And it was like, no, nope, I'm going back. And I took off running in this spot. Like I was just running through the woods back to this village. And all of a sudden I am in a dungeon with a little boy, and this little boy, his face has been replaced by a popular little boy I had followed on social media. And I immediately knew it would be too painful to see that face immediately removed. That's how I felt. And I took the kid and I ran, and I felt lots of fire behind me and got into the woods, and I held him and I cried the whole time. And then it was over, and we kind of like floated up my elevator through my crown kind of thing. And, you know, all of that sounds scary if you just say it, like who wants to experience that, you know, but it actually opened so many thoughts and doors and helped me explore trauma in much different ways. And I think like a lot of people don't go for it because they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to find in my past? It's probably terrible. I'm probably horrible. Or I've probably had terrible lives. And you might have, but you've also had good ones. So why are you seeing a negative one? And what can you take from that and heal from with it, kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's, it really bugs me how distorted hypnosis and past life work and stuff is in media and in books and TV and all that stuff. It really bugs me because it's like, I always say this, I'm going to make t-shirts one of these days, and every single one, you better buy one. It's going to say, you know, it doesn't matter whether or not it's real. It's a real experience,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And what you're pulling out of it 99% of the time, if you're going to someone who knows what they're doing, and that's super important, yes, to get someone who knows what they're doing. But really, it's healing yourself. And, it could be past lives, and it could be your subconscious mind making up a story to justify you feeling a certain way. But to me, it doesn't matter whichever one, because you're still coming out on top. Like you're still coming out feeling more and more healed. And you know what's really, really interesting, kind of switching gears a little bit, kind of back towards the chakra systems, is like for thousands of years people have used those. And this is gonna sound weird, but like they also tie into hypnosis too, and I didn't even realize it. Like one of the first sessions I did, someone, this lady pointed out to me that in order to see your past lives, and I don't know how much stock I put into this, but she's like, in order to see your past lives, you have to travel up into your third eye chakra and then back down into your root chakra. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. But then I started to realize that most people, their very first time doing it, in there, when they're trying to get to their safe place or when they're in their safe place, they'll always like go up somewhere and then they'll go back down in their own head. So it was very interesting to me that the chakras kind of line up with that. And then also the vagus nerve as well is right where the root chakra is.
Right.
And they were talking about that feeling safe for thousands of years. That's where your safety is, you know, excuse me for not being eloquent, but like your sense of security is located at the base of your spine, and that's where your vagus nerve is. And it's been scientifically proven that if you stimulate your vagus nerve, you feel safe and secure.
Yeah.
So, well, how the hell did they know that thousands of years ago when they didn't know about the vagus nerve?
Oh, no. It's crazy. I love it.
So my question to you is like, have you used the chakra system in your therapy? And if not, are you going to one of these days?
And how would you do it? Yeah, I do. I have patients where like, we'll talk about the chakras, done it a bunch. And I also have patients who are not, but you know, everyone can relate, you know, whether it is your root and you're having issues with safety and security, whether it is your throat and you can't communicate, or you are holding back, you know, thoughts and you're not freeing yourself verbally or expression wise, whatever it may be, everyone's going through those. So like, sometimes I'll be like, you know, Who knows if it is real or not, but you should like go on Pinterest and look up root chakra journal prompts. Look up some journal prompts and maybe like look into those, because whether it's true or not, you're still dealing with safety and security stuff. Maybe that's something like you could look in inner inward with a little bit more, and they should do it. Because, you know, I think it, regardless of your beliefs, there's literally no denying, just like you said, the physical body, that your vagus nerve, it will make you feel calmer when stimulated. Like, there's no denying that kind of thing. So the essence of all the chakra work is always going to be valid, whether you believe in it or not. So I always try to throw it out there. Yeah.
So do you look at it as like literal, like they literally are located in these parts of your body? Or do you look at it as like they're not located there, but it correlates with that part of your body because it's like a representation thing? I'm trying to think of like a good.
No, I know exactly what you mean, because for myself personally, I feel like, yes, they're like being thing. They're there. Like, I feel like they are true things. They're not just like, I'm thinking of my root chakra and that's my like they say, what it's like a cord. It's the size of a quarter at the root of your spine is your root chakra or something like that. And I've absolutely felt like the tingles when I'm aligning something or working, you know, I can feel the energy if I'm doing stuff. So I believe there's something there, but I don't know shit about shit. You know, I don't know anything. So I'm still exploring. So I have not gone there in therapy yet, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But what I'm comfortable with is, you should do some journaling. You should look inward. Like, let's talk about these kind of things in therapy, and we'll kind of focus on those specific topics as our intro to chakra work kind of thing.
Well, it sounds like me, you got some studying to do so that you can use them in an anecdotal way for your therapy clients.
Exactly. It's so fun.
It works great. Like, yeah. I don't even use them as like a literal thing. It's like just a way I tell people, like, so look, this chakra system thing exists, and we can use it to look at, like, you can use it to visualize the energy in your body.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a good way to visualize, and you can even use it that way. And that's what I love to do with it too.
Yes. Yes. That's a really good word. It's like visualizing. I bought a little book about chakras from Five Below, and it had a great, like, you know, it showed all the little symbols and how you can visualize them and check in to see if they're spinning. You know, how fast are they spinning? Are they spinning clockwise, reverse? And that was really interesting and something that I've been doing for myself, or trying to.
Well, you know, we're coming up on time anyway, so I'll just ask you real quick, since you don't have anything to plug.
Yeah.
Do you have a message that you would like to leave for my audience?
I think, you know, if you notice things, pay attention to your surroundings and yourself. And if you are having experiences that maybe hold more meaning than meets the naked eye, roll with it. Don't be scared of it, and kind of like let yourself embrace things that make you scared a little bit. It is not bad. It is good. It is healthy, and everyone should go for it. It is not a scary experience, and it doesn't make you crazy. And that's not to negate the real true effects of mental illness and those symptoms that one can experience. But when you open yourself up to bigger things or bigger picture, or letting yourself think, maybe this is a horrible inconvenience in this moment, but perhaps there's a bigger picture, and just that can be healing. And so embrace things that scare you. If you're feeling spiritual, go for it. And love your life a little bit more. Don't always listen to your first voice, because it's mean. That'd be my message.
Well, Haley, thanks so much for reaching out to come on the show. You know, I really appreciate it. I think that the stuff that we talked about will be helpful for a lot of people, especially people who are more on like the skeptic side of the fence that are looking at this from a more clinical point of view. So thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
No Yeah, thanks for having me. This was awesome. And I hope it made sense to some people out there and they feel a little bit better about themselves and whatever they might be experiencing.
That's it for today's episode. I would like to thank Haley very much for coming on to the show. I would also like to thank you for tuning in. Definitely don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player so that you don't miss any of my weekly episodes. Don't forget to share the podcast with literally everybody in the entire world. That'll be great so you can help the show grow. And if you or someone you know wants to or may want to be a guest on the show, shoot me an email. And I would like to touch on this for just a second. I don't care if you think your story can help a million people or if your story could help just one person. This whole podcast was about wanting to help even just one person feel better, feel more complete, and feel like they have hope. So if you have a story, if you're in the middle of your spiritual awakening, if you went through your spiritual awakening, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about your story so that that one person out there that might hear your story and identify with it can know that they're not alone. So if you would like to share your story, if you'd like to come on the podcast to talk to me about you, shoot me an email. My email is theregressionsession@gmail.com, and I would love to have you on the show.